There's a scripture in the Bible that says, without vision, people what? Perish. That literally translates to they just go and scatter in any direction. And as I begin to think about it, it's been several years since we really kind of talked about vision. Kind of talked about why we do what we do here. We've got a lot of new people, so I know a lot of you folks probably are wondering kind of what is all the signage, like what does one step mean, and what are all the four squares of know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And you know, last week we talked about the who. We talked about that it's not just God's people we serve, but we do it because the Bible says in Matthew 20, what is it? Throw it back there for me. There we go. Matthew 25, that Jesus tells us, hey, when you fed that person, when you loved on that person, when you went to visit that person, if you've done that to the least of them, you've done it for me. So that Jesus was, we do it because there are people in need. There are kids in Project 216 that are in need. There are hungry people. There are lonely, hurt people. Those are part of the who. But the bigger picture is we do it because we love Jesus. And if you're visiting with us today, hang in there with me. I truly believe God's got something for you. If you're watching us online, welcome to you guys. But I just wanted to kind of, again, share my heart, share a little vision with you as we end up 2018. This is the last Sunday in 2018. It's hard to believe that the year just disappeared like that. And as we face 2019, kind of give you a little encouragement to keep doing what we do. And so some of you who are new will know why we do what we do. But I truly believe that if we can do this, we can all today kind of grab a hold of vision that we can hit 2019, hit the ground running. That we can, I'm just believing for God to use us in bigger ways in the community, in the world, in God to grow and expand things here, not for numbers' sake, but because the more people that are here serving Jesus, the more people then are going to heaven with us. That's why we do what we do. So that people will take that step. This is so crucial for us to grab because, see, I think a lot of times, I said this last week, we can get about numbers or we can get about our mission. We can get about serving on the serve team, doing the dream team in the nursery or the ushers or the greeters. And we just get about mission and we forget about what we're trying to get people to, who we're trying to take people to meet. We make it impossible for us to travel light, as the series says, because we carry so much with us. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus is telling his disciples, y'all really, this is the Clint version, y'all really don't need anything, but just take a jacket and go. I'll provide everything else. See, a lot of times I think we try to serve God, but we try to hitch up the wagon behind us. Well, if I'm going to go serve God, I've got to take all this stuff with me to be successful. And we're so weighed down, even in our Christian walk, we can't get anything done because we're carrying traditions, we're carrying the way we perceive things in our minds, and we kind of go in circles. Or we go real slow because we're just carrying too much weight. You see, when you and I are focused on the right one, we do right things. If you'll think about your life, and we'll do this by a show of hands, if you've made wrong decisions, think about this and answer this. Raise your hand if you were following God when you were making that wrong decision. Okay. When you make right decisions, were you following and listening to God? Now raise your hands. See, very seldom when we follow the right one do we make the wrong decisions. There are times even I know when you go into the grocery stores with your kids, you tell them, we'll tell our girls, follow what? Follow me. Because I am the right one. And if most of you had known Emma, she finds people quick. So we'll be walking along and look up. Emma will be following some lady down to the other side of the store. Because she finds somebody, she locks onto them, and she goes. She made the wrong decision because what? And she went the wrong way because she's following the wrong one. She's not focused on the right one. And really, truly, this is all we have to offer. All we have to offer to people is the right one. Look what Hebrews 10:20 says. This is out of the Message version. It says, so friends, we can right now, and I love this line, without hesitation, do what? Walk right into God. And you know, this is not just for you if you're saved and sanctified and think yourself holy. This is for everybody. The Bible says that you can come into this room this morning, receive Jesus, and go freely into the throne room of God. He doesn't care what you did last night. He doesn't care of what's going on in your life. The issue is that you receive freely the One. And we're able to do this because we can go freely. See, remember, Jesus is the who. He's the one we do it for. We can help people take the one step. Not because we're the answer, but because why? Because we know the answer. If you're depending on Clint to help you through an issue, to help you walk through something, I'm sorry, but your chances of success are slim to none. But if you can count on me and I'm following the One, I'm following Jesus, I'm following the voice of God, and then you're trusting me, that's a whole different thing. Because we're now both connected into God. You can hear God for yourself. You can hear that voice for yourself. It's not because we are the answer, it's because we know the answer. But here is the trick for 2019. It's to get all of us taking what is our one step. Because no matter how long you have or have not been serving God, you have a step. And here's the truth of the matter for all of you who say, well, I'm not even saved, it really doesn't apply to me. You're going on a spiritual journey. You're taking steps towards somewhere. The important question to answer is where? Because you got one of two paths. One's good, one's not. And whether you believe it or not, we're all walking on that spiritual journey. And God says, listen, I've sent my Son for all of you. I sent Him to answer both those people who are on the right path and on the wrong path and bring them over to going in the right direction. But you see, I'm going to put these into terms in our vision. I'm going to put people in four groups. I think you can put everybody in the world into four groups as it pertains to church. And here's why we do what we do. The first group is the lost, the hurting, and the hopeless. These are people who don't know God, who are far from God, whose eternity is not secure. These are people who have been wounded and abused and had their backs turned on. They've been told they're not worth anything. They've been devalued. They don't see themselves as of any value to people or to God. And see, for us, we translate that into what is our first square, and you'll see the squares in a second, and that's just simply to know God. See, nothing else matters. And in Christianity, nothing else matters until you know God. There's no skip A and go to B, C, and D. And the Bible is very clear, there's by one way, only one way, which what? Man can be saved. There's only one way that happens. So for us, and as we exit 2018 and start thinking about 2019, I'm asking you, who are people in your life that you are certain don't know God? And they may have known God and walked away, and life took them south, and they turned their back on God because church wounded them. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who hold God at arm's length because of something a person did to them in church. And they have kind of regressed from even admitting that God is in their life or that they have any part of Him. These are people that need to know Jesus. Look what the Bible says in Titus. It says in Titus 3 that when our God, our Savior, revealed His kindness and love, He what? He saved us. You see, I think sometimes, and I'm a simplist in my theology, I think sometimes we get too caught up and too deep into non-eternal issues. And there are a lot of people who just simply need to be saved. They just simply need somebody, us, to reach down and grab their hand and say, you're in a mess, life stinks for you right now, I know 2018 wasn't good and 2019 looks terrible, but you got to know there's a God who loves you. And I love you, and I'm going to share with you what I have, and all I have is the answer, and the answer is not something I made up or I concocted. but it's the Son of God who God sent to us. But it says He saved us, not because of things we've done. People can't know God because if they change. The lost, the hurting, the hopeless don't suddenly get saved if they suddenly are not lost anymore. If they can't find their way in life and suddenly they think they found their right path, if that path doesn't have God in it, they're still lost. But it says that He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life. See, God, the Bible says that He ordained before time existed, before anything showed up on the earth, He knew who you were and what you were going to do for Him. The problem is we were living in what we thought is life, and the Bible says it was life separate from God. The Bible's very clear that unless our path intersects that of what Jesus did for us, the life we're living is that path that's going to lead us to hell for eternity. No matter how good you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how much you think you deserve it, the Bible's very clear. Lost, hurting, and hopeless need to know God. And Jesus, or the Bible says here in Titus that He gives us a new birth and a new life. Something totally healed and different. Now, let's move on one more step forward. We go from knowing God to the next one. Now people are saved. Now we're saved. The next group, I didn't tier them, but you could tier these up, is what I call the saved. And just do the first one if you haven't already. The saved dippers. The saved dipper is this. You see them Christmas, Easter, and one or two holidays where somebody gets them, you know, to church because they promise to feed them afterwards. So they're saved. Now, I want you to hear this because this is a major point in theology, a major point in our faith. Because some of us will look at people and go, well, they didn't really get saved. They were here at that service, they raised their hand, they filled out the card, they checked the box, they prayed the prayer, but then we didn't see them for 6 months. And a lot of us in our natural minds would say, right, they weren't saved. They didn't really experience salvation. Well, let me caution you, because that's not you for you to decide. Because if you start putting conditions on salvation, we are treading on very, very thin ice. Because that means God can say, well, you didn't do this. Are you saved? You didn't tithe. You got saved and you hadn't tithed yet, and you've been saved for 10 years. Are you saved? You only come to church 25% of the time. Does that make you saved? So these people are saved. I fully believe that once they encounter God that day, that moment, they're saved. They're just babies. They're babies in Christ. They're trying to figure out. But these are the dippers are the people who they just kind of come whenever it kind of fits in life. They get saved and they take off in life and they have a Sunday with nothing to do, so they come to church. Then they get busy and don't come to church for another 6-8 weeks or whatever the time is, and then they show up again. And they show up here at a place like this, and we love them and welcome them and try to encourage them to be back next week and get in a grow group and do the things we do. But they just dip in and out. They just kind of touch the water, get their feet wet, feel good, punch the God card, and then we don't see them. And this may be you today. You may be a dipper showing up at church today. That's okay. Because all of these groups have issues to work out. All of these groups have things that we need to work on. And the cool thing about God is it's okay to be a dipper. It's not okay if we stay there. The second part of this is you have saved dippers. Now curl your toes. Don't anybody get upset. Then we have what I call saved tippers. You may be in church regularly, but the Bible, and this is not a money sermon, I'm not taking up an extra offering, we don't do that, but the Bible's very clear that where your treasure is, where the things you value are, what else is there? Your heart. Now let's bring this, let's take it out of church maybe into marriage. If you have a wife or a husband, and you spend all of your time, not in a immoral way, but with a friend or a buddy, a girlfriend, another friend that's not your husband, According to the value of time, where is your heart? Is it with your husband and wife, or is it with the buddies or whatever else is taking you away from that relationship? It's somewhere else. See, the Bible is clear that you have the saved dippers who come and go and kind of get in and out. Then there's some people who are they're new. Again, they're baby. Maybe they're trying to figure this out. Sometimes in Christianity, you have babies who are 30, 40, 50 years old. They've just never progressed. They've never taken a step. But a saved tipper is somebody who's kind of on the edge. They just don't want to let go. Because part of what I believe is the revelation as we talk about a tithe or we talk about giving is that you learn to let go of what is already God's. And we quit becoming the tipper like we're at a restaurant after, you know, like we go eat after service today. If you go to a restaurant, that tip you give them is not something that let me see how to say this. It's something they've earned. Even if you don't give it to them, that's their paycheck. That servant, that guy or girl who's working at their Mexican restaurant, we go, that's their pay. And when you walk away without giving it, not only have you withheld from them, but in the same sense of God, you're pulling away. You're not showing them value. You're not making any progress into getting to know them like we would God. You're not turning anything over. And a saved tipper, if we're not careful, we settle into it. And the Bible says you're saved. It's not an eternal issue, but nothing ever changes in our heart. We don't move forward at all. But like a baby when a baby's born, a child's born, they're fully alive, right? And that child, we don't expect that child we go home from the hospital on Saturday, on Monday morning, that baby better have a job, right? You better be, we need to apply for college the Monday when you get back. They're fully alive, but now if that child is now 20 years old, staying at home with no job, now we got a problem. Both saved, both fully alive, but one, this tipper has never really made a commitment to contribute to the household. And I think sometimes with God, we get afraid to contribute and to let him have more and to give him more. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in time and effort and ability. And see, the problem is, the reason we don't is because we can't find freedom. So we know God, and our second thing is finding freedom. Finding freedom is simply letting God deal with the things that we couldn't deal with on our own. There's a word in church, especially in charismatic churches, and people freak out when they hear it, but it's the word deliverance. And when we think deliverance, what do we think? Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding, right? Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. And we think of the movie. That's what we think deliverance. Or if you think deliverance and you think horror movie, you think, you know, heads spinning around and people with green eyes and puking everywhere and demon possession. See, that's not, the world's kind of stolen deliverance, the word, because that's not what it means. All of us in this room have some area that you need deliverance. Some area that you struggle with that is a weight for you. All of us have things that we need to get rid of, to stop doing, to start doing, and you need some help. Deliverance isn't for people with demons. It's for anyone who still struggles with their sin nature. Does anybody here still struggle with sin? Okay, let me put this in somewhere we can all understand. We're going to leave to go to, I tell you, in Statesboro, if you leave now and go to this address, you can win $100,000. Right? Good? But you got to be there in 28 minutes. We get out on 301, and there's four John Deere tractors hauling big farm implements that block the road. How many of us are going to keep ourselves holy? None of us. We'll make it more realistic. You got to get to the doctor's appointment. It's in Statesboro. The John Deere tractors are out on the road. A truck's on the road. Whatever it is. You know, grandma driving 20 miles an hour, blocking the road. Do we stay holy? Do we think things, say things, do things And if you are saying yes, you're lying. Because any deliverance for anyone who still struggles with just the sin nature of life. Anger. Anybody else struggle with getting angry? I have. Like, I just have to back up and go, no, that's not worth getting angry about. I'm going to move on to something else. I struggle with that. Impatience. Anybody struggle being impatient? Y'all are lying. There's more of you than that. Y'all, I've been in line with you at Bilo. We're looking at Sam and these other monk and the other, like, come on, y'all. That thing beeps fast. Make it beep. Come on. And then you get behind the lady that beeps the thing, the one item that has no sticker on it, but she's got to have it. So the whole world has to come to a stop. See, that's the sin nature in us wants to take the item, tell the lady, I'll take care of this, and then throw the item to the back of the store and then be done, right? So deliverance is not for possessed people, demonic people. Deliverance is what the Bible says that is us finding freedom from the things in our past, the hurts that you've felt, the wounds that you've had, the people who have spoken things over you. I know people who I think they can't move forward in life, they can't move forward in relationships, they can't get to know God anymore because they've been wounded in a relationship. Somebody stabbed them in the back or cheated on them or turned on them, and they hold that. Well, the Bible says there's a way out of that, that you can find freedom. We do it one way. We do it here is through grow groups. That you get in a grow group, you find out, hey, wait a minute, you have that issue too? You mean you and your wife have arguments? Do y'all know that people will look at Melanie and I and they're shocked when they tell them that we fight and have arguments too? I lose most of them, but we do. I don't try to outwit her because she's smarter than me. But yes, we have issues too. Yes, I snap at her, and believe it or not, as perfect as she appears, she snaps at me too. I know, it's hard to believe. It's rare. It's, you know, once or twice a decade. But, I mean, we're coming up on 20 years, and she's snapped at me before. We have issues, so even Melanie needs some deliverance. She needs to find some freedom. Now, I maybe need a little more. But see, deliverance we can't be afraid of, because when you get into a grow group and you look at each other and go, well, you got an issue? I've got that same issue. And here's how I worked it out. Why don't, you know, let's talk about it. And it doesn't have to happen over a Bible study. I've watched one of the groups with Lauren, Andrew, and Cameron, and Aaron, Cameron, Gentry, and the younger married grow group. And I get a picture a while back, and they're all playing Mario Kart. And they talk for weeks about playing Mario Kart on a big screen, and they're laughing, and they're talking about life and marriage and issues and things they face and jobs. And I guarantee you, somewhere in the mix, they discovered, wait a minute, y'all dealt with this? You've been married a little longer. How did y'all do this? And they begin to find freedom, because the Bible says of Christians that as iron sharpens iron, so what? So one man sharpens another. There are a lot of things, even in church, I don't go do right away without going to ask another pastor friend or somebody in the country, hey, you've done this before. Let me sit and let's let iron sharpen iron a little bit, because I want to do this, but I don't think I'm right or ready yet. And we do things the way they did because it worked for them. See, some of us need to find freedom, and when you do, it takes you at this bondage that keeps you in the realm of the dipper and the tipper. Because you can't let go and give God, because I did that last time and he hurt me. I did that last time at this church and they hurt my feelings. And you're bound by this emotional bondage and chains, and you can find freedom. The Bible says in Romans 7:25, it says, so then I myself, in my mind, I'm a slave to God's law. In other words, I always follow it. I'm locked in. But it says, but in my sinful nature, I'm still a slave to sin. Look what it says in the next chapter in 8:1, I'm sorry. It says, therefore there is now what? No condemnation for those who are with Christ, the one, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you what? Free. And here's what you need to understand. That same Jesus, if you're saved, if you know God, It's now in you. Your story, believe this or not, I truly, truly, in the bottom of my heart, with all of my fiber of my being, believe this. Your story, sitting here this morning, shared with the person beside you, has more power, more impact on life than any message you could hear from me, no matter how great it may be up here on a Sunday. You sitting beside somebody, the God in you, the power in you, sharing your story, you can allow somebody else to find freedom by sharing your testimony. Some of you have testimonies that you probably don't even want to share in public. But I'm telling you, one-on-one, you begin to open up your life. Not only do you find freedom, but other people find freedom. And then you take one step together, because the Bible says that the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit set me free from those things that hurt me, from those chains that hurt me. You see, deliverance is not just a good offering plan to deal with what you are not going to Deliverance is just deliverance is of God's plan to help you do something you'll never be able to do on your own. And if you think you can find freedom on your own, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be back. You will be back. You may lessen it, you may keep it down a while, but sooner or later, the chains get heavy again, the weight gets heavy again, and you come back. Now, the next one. We go from the lost, hurting, the hopeless, to now you're saved, but you just can't get in that commitment because you need to find freedom. And the next one is, we have people that are saved and they've committed. I mean, they're here and they're faithful and they tithe and they give. Now, I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to come out wrong in my pronunciation. We have saved, and go ahead and put it up there, sitters, not, I was in my office thinking through this, and I said, okay, we got this, 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 and saved, shh. And I went, ooh, I can't say that. So I had to be careful. Now, a saved sitter is somebody who, they're here every week. They love God. They're in a grow group. They've found freedom. They're not bound up by the sins of their past, or they're not bound up by the wounds of their past. But they've maybe taken that one step forward. But now all we do is occupy space. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. It's just the truth of the way we progress. You're growing and getting more from God and learning more from God. Your worship has, you know, you once were quiet and reserved, and now maybe you're a little more outward focused on your worship to show God how much you love Him during worship. Maybe your hands raised, maybe your foot's tapped, you know, maybe you even, you know, get a little sidestep going during worship. For those of us, the white people, we don't sidestep, we just kind of sway. Because if we sidestep, we're going to trip over somebody else beside us. Usually into one of you people that have good rhythm, which is not me, which is why I hide behind the guitar. But a saved sitter is somebody who, they're here, but they don't know what their purpose is. They don't know why they're here. And they can't really find their way because they don't know their why. And your why is what we do in the third box, which is discover purpose. Some of you would say, well, I know what I am. I am an electrician. I am a office assistant. I am, you know, an inventory manager. I am a dental assistant. I am this. I am that. That may be what you do to provide for yourself, but most of the time it's not your purpose. And here's why I say that. Because I think when we do that, we limit God to how big He really is. Because He would say to me, Clint, you're only going to be a pastor in this church in Sylvania, and that's as big as you're ever going to reach. Or you're going to be an office manager, and that's your full potential, that's your purpose. See, I think that limits God. I don't think anybody who's ever done anything great and big for God allowed themselves to be put in just a job title. So your job is not necessarily your purpose. The Bible says long ago, before you ever showed up on this earth, I said this earlier, God knew who you were, knew your life, and plan for you to do something. There's a purpose in this body for you. All of us have this need inside of us, without going into the psychology of it, this need inside of us to do something and be a part of something that's bigger than we are. I love watching this. I love being a part of and watching, say, Project 216. I was telling the guys, and I think I said this the other week, I love taking guys now to Honduras, and I enjoy going myself, but I love taking them because I love watching them experience something bigger than themselves and to be a part of something that's removed from here and watch the same God we serve here do mighty things 1,331 miles from here at the care point that we take care of kids. I love watching that. I love watching people find their purpose, find their and use their gifts. In the step three, which is where in our growth track, which is where we help you figure that out. I love watching people go, wow, okay, I like doing this. This makes me good at this in the church. And if I do this at church, then people are going to know Jesus. You see, if we look at things maybe a little different here, we don't use the word volunteer. If you go through our growth track, and you have been before, we don't use the word volunteer. Because volunteer, in some cases, projects the ability to be manipulated. Because I know most of you are loving and good-hearted. And if I come to you and say, hey, Sam, you're a great instrument, man. You played the trumpet last week, and that was awesome. But we need you in the nursery. What's Sam going to say? Okay. Now, I'm not saying he's not gifted with kids, because I don't know. But I know he's gifted in music. But we put him over there with the kids. Is he going to do it? Yes. Is he going to survive? Maybe not. See, I don't think that's Sam's purpose. We've talked in depth with him about leading music, whether it be in a high school band or in worship, working with our band here. That's part of his purpose. That's part of his gifting. When you use the word volunteer, he went because I asked him, because as a pastor, and people do stuff because you ask them, but it's not his passion. It's not what wakes him up in the morning. I dare say he wakes up in the morning thinking, I can't wait to go to church and change some dirty diapers. But you know what? There are some of you that do. And the ones that do, go over there and love those babies and hug on those babies and teach the kids and the elementary school kids over today. I think Lauren and Andrew are over there today and playing games with them. And that's wonderful, because we need to think, when people do that, mama can sit in here, that single mom who's had kids running and pulling her hair out all week, she can sit in here and find freedom. She can sit in here and maybe know God for the first time. And that's what I'm saying. See, your purpose, you may be an office worker or a secretary by day during the week, but when you show up and you're on the Believer's Church Nursery Dream Team and you're over there, well, I think Melissa's over there today, loving on babies, taking care of kids. See, you're not just sowing into those kids' life, you're sowing into somebody else's life too, because you're a part of something that's bigger than you are. When you give to Project 216, when you send people on missions trips, when we, you know, do things for people, when we do the egg drop in the spring for the livestock parade, that's something bigger than one of us can do, because we can't do that. Me and Melanie couldn't do that on our own. It's something that we're changing lives, because we've discovered one of our purposes is just to go love people and let people see a genuine God love, a Jesus inside of us love, and we don't expect anything from you. We just want you to know that we love you. We care about you. We're glad to be a part of our community. So you got to find out your design. Ephesians 1:11, in the Message, it says, in Christ we find out who we are, what we are living for. Who we are and what we are. What are we doing this for? But it goes on at the end of this verse, and in verse 12 it says that God had his eye on us before we ever started this thing, and he has designs on us for what? Glorious living. Now, there are a lot of us, including me, I would say right now I am blessed. I have a great family. I have a great job. I have a good time at what I do. I have a great house. I have everything I need. I'm lacking really for nothing that I can think of. But I still would say, God, inside of me, I don't think I'm quite living glorious living. And I'm not thinking mansions and planes and fancy stuff. I'm thinking glorious to me is more people knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose. He's got a purpose for you, that you are a part of the overall purpose. You have such value. You're a part of God's world plan, his eternity plan. You're a part of that. The overall purpose. He's working out in everything and what? Everyone. Doesn't leave out anybody. And we tell you in this Discover Purpose that the way you know your design is by knowing the designer. And here's the cool thing about God. He created you, but before he ever created you, he put this thing together called the Bible that tells you all about you before you ever started. You want to know your design? Know God. Because if your design doesn't fall within his personality and who he is, then I'm telling you, you're probably not where you think, where you need to be. You're not doing what you need to be doing for the kingdom of God and serving God. You need to know your design, you need to know the designer. Then in the last group, that we all take this step. But even this last group, you got stuff to do, you got things you need to work on, we need to get better. And a lot of you fall into this group. Those are the saved, passionate servant of Jesus. You love God, you know your purpose, you're serving on a dream team, you're serving on the worship team, you tithe, you give, you go. Do anything God wants you. You're gracious, you love people, you evangelize. But how many of you know you still have one step? I know a lot of you, and even some of you watching online, you're there. You serve God, you love him, you love Jesus with all your heart, but we still have one step to take. But when you get to this place, a saved, passionate servant of Jesus, you've discovered your purpose. You now are what I think we're, a lot of us are in this phase now, and you are making a difference. It's our fourth square. So you know God, you meet Jesus, you find freedom, you get rid of the stuff that's been holding you back and weighing you down. You discover purpose, and now that you've discovered your purpose, now we're ready to make a difference. I watched this play out, all of these things begin to play out as we started Project 216. We inserted God into this giving thing, and then it just began to grow, and we began to move forward and figure this thing out and find some freedom and be able to get rid of things that were holding us back and move forward. Then we began to really find a purpose for Project 216 and get it really running, and then we get to this final phase of now we're seeing it make a difference in our community. Seeing kids, lives being impacted because a saved, passionate servant of Jesus should be making a difference. Look what the Bible says in John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is saying this, but I have come that they may have life and have what? Life to the full. See, the only way I think you're really going to be fulfilled, we're going to be fulfilled, is when we are a part of a group doing something that's bigger than any one person. One of you can do a lot. All of us together can do an infinite amount more. And so these four groups, the know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. That's what you see in the foyer. It's what you see all over on the website. That's what you see on the sign. We purposely put it. If you'll notice today when you leave, you're going to see a big, it says one step, and then over top of it, it'll have the know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Because we want those constantly in our minds that we take, as to the progress we're taking people through. Now, in just the last few minutes, I want to kind of give you probably what some of you have asked before, and I was asked this recently, and that's what got me thinking about sharing this, about where did this one step thing come from? You know, you see it, we put it on everything, every social media we put out has it on it. It's everywhere. Where did that come from? And the reason I want to tell you is because I think it's important to the rest of this, those four areas that we've talked about. But several years ago, probably 5-6 years ago now, I was sitting in a conference. I'd gone to a conference with Melanie, just with a bunch of other pastors, just to kind of go get refreshed and listen and be fed and taught and listen. And as I was sitting there, I realized I wasn't paying attention to even what was going on. I was sitting frustrated. I was trying to figure out, God, what direction do you want to take the church? You know, I don't really know. I'm new at this. I'm trying to figure this out. In my mind, it should happen big, fast, in a hurry, right? Like I show up this morning and say, okay, I want everybody to bring one person next week. We pack the house out next week. We pack it out the week after that. We got to go to 5 services. We got to, you know, big, grow. And I was sitting in this service thinking about a service here where I felt like, man, I just blew the walls out. You know, go home to Melanie, she said, that was a great message, and I was prepared, and it flowed well, and was ready. But then you get to the end of the message and say, okay, here's the time that matters the most. If you want to meet Jesus this morning, if you want to know God this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, and just shoot your hand in the air. And in my mind, it's like, all of you who are saved, I got to get saved again, because that was so wonderful. But it's like, no, crickets. Anybody? Hello? This thing on? And nobody moves. And so I would go home frustrated, kind of sucking the joy out of what maybe I hope you took away. I just didn't, I just wasn't seeing it. And I was sitting in this conference. I felt like nobody would respond. Something was just not happening the way I thought it would be. Then I heard the guy speaking say this. He said, if you can get people to take one step from where they are currently toward where you know God wants them to be, the church will be successful. Let me read that to you again. If you can get people to take one step from where they currently are toward where you know God wants them to be, the church, capital C, will be successful. And when he said that, it's like the lights went on. And just and I heard, all I could hear was him saying one step in the book. I'm not a note taker, but I'm like grabbing a note from Melanie and writing down one step. And as I began to pray about it, God, it was one of those aha moments. I began to remember some verses, and this is where this comes from. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm not going to wax too spiritual on this, but the truth of it is, God's moving. And if we're not moving with Him, we may not be walking backwards, but are we falling behind? The Bible says that we follow, we live life by the voice of the Spirit and not the voice of the flesh, and we should be following it. We should be finding out where God wants us to go and take it. Now, I'm not saying you got to get up every morning and ask God what color socks you should put on, what shoes you should wear, what pants you should wear. That's just silly. You do like me, I'll walk in this morning and go blue shirt, gray pants. Do I need to buy this? Not buy this. Do I need to invest in this? Do I need, you know, if you're in college and maybe thinking about marriage, do I need to get married? Is this the right person? You're asking God and you're stepping behind Him. The Bible says here that we keep in step with the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. It says, so I run with purpose in every step. So now not only are we following God, but as we take our one step, what's the purpose? He goes on to say that I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just punching at air, but I'm punching with purpose. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but years ago, it may have started with like Jackie Chan, but he talked about the one-inch punch. Have you all ever seen that? You ever seen somebody that can do that? And they, you know, it's this martial art, and they'll, Bruce Lee, sorry, yeah. Sorry. I know it was one of the Lee guys. But he would get right on somebody and get an inch away from their chest, and they're thinking, oh, you're not going to hurt me, you're this close. And he'd go, wham! See, he wasn't just punching with shadow boxing. He had purpose. He had a very focused thing in what he was doing. So for me, as I begin to think about this, is that if I could just get people excuse me, to take one step, one focused step. And as I began to think about it, I was getting aggravated because people weren't coming forward. People weren't raising their hand. And when I got back the next Sunday, I was preaching the message, and it was another one. I had been on a conference, and it was kind of like a camp for, you know, when you come back from camp, and I'm fired up, and you need to meet Jesus. Let's know God. Who wants to take the step? And then crickets. And I went home angry. God, what is it? People just... And God brought me back, and I'll never forget. And this person is not here, and I have not seen them in many years. But it was like sometimes God just kind of takes you back. I'm not going to say it was a vision or a dream, but just in my mind, I'm standing right here teaching, and over here in this area, there was a gentleman sitting in a seat, and it was like God just kind of erased everybody else, and there was a spotlight on somebody sitting over there. And I'm just thinking, I thought, God, that's kind of weird. And he said, that man got up and came to service this morning. He showed up. When he went to bed, he was planning on killing himself when he got up. But he didn't. And then God kind of smacks you with it. He took one step. And he showed up at church this morning. And now God's working with him. He goes to another church. And God's beginning. But that one morning, that one man was going to kill himself. And from that moment on, I thought, God, if I'm not going to complain anymore. Now, do I like it if I preach a message and say, hey, all y'all, who wants to meet Jesus? Who needs their life changed? And y'all all jump up, run to the altar. That feeds my ego, but it's not what God's after. God's after people taking one step. Because the Bible says if you come closer to Him, He does what? See, and I don't think we may take one step, but God runs. If you remember the story of the prodigal son coming home and daddy met him there, he sees him coming and the son's strolling up the driveway. Did daddy just stand and wait like, I'm going to wait, let you come to me, come on. The Bible literally translates, he picked up his robe and took off running to greet his son. And I just realized as a house, maybe going into 2019, guys, if we can just take one step. Whatever it is God's been laying on your heart all this year and you've not done, take the step. Whatever it is that is holding you back, take the step. Because here's the vision, and for those of you who don't know this, I'll put it up on the screen for you so you can actually fill it in. My vision, what I feel like is our vision for the church, is that I want to take people from where they are one step closer to where God wants them to be. If I can get everybody moving one step closer in the right direction, and it may be every day a step, it may be every week a step. For some people, it may be a building up to a month, and they decide to take a step. I think we can change some lives. We can just get people taking one step. But here's the key. The trick is getting the saved serving. Getting those who are passionate followers of Christ, serving those who need Him. Melanie used this, I think, before, and I stole it from her today. But served people should be serving people. And whether you're on a dream team, no matter what you're doing, you have been served. The God of the universe, our King, sent Jesus for us. And to serve you, to do something that you can't do for yourself, to give you an eternity that without Him, you'll never have. Served people should be serving people. And if we're all, the key to people taking one step is us taking one step. For you this coming year, you may not be in a grow group. You may not even have tried it. Get in a group. We'll start in January and the 14th and do our 7-day restart and kind of get prayed up and ready to start the year. And sometime about February or so, we'll start the spring semester groups. Get in a group. Maybe you know you have a gift, ability, or talent that you've discovered. You've went through the growth track. You know what it is, and you just haven't done it. Do it. Maybe you know that there's a person that you're supposed to be inviting that doesn't know God, and they need to know God, and they need to be sitting next to you. Go pick them up. Message them, Facebook them, text them, show up on their front door, write it snail mail. Johnny Bolton will make sure it gets there quick as he can. Do something to invite them. I know in our hearts there's people that we've reached out to. I was reminded this morning on my little backsplash on my sink, I have this old plastic covered, it's wrapped in a little plastic, dusty little lifesaver. Anybody remember the lifesavers? Mine has been sitting there for 6.5 years. Yeah, it's nasty. And Melanie knows when cleaned the bathroom, she just picks it up, cleans under it, and puts it back on that sink. Because for me, every morning when I brush my teeth, there is a name of an individual in this county that I call out. I say, God, I can't wait to see him in church, because there he is. And his one step may not be that he comes and gets saved. His one step may be that he just comes through the doors. His one step may be he goes to another church entirely and meets Jesus. I don't care. But God, I pray he's gonna meet Jesus one day, and I'm brushing my teeth. Been sitting there for 6.5 years. He's in the top of my list on my cell phone, and I know him very well. We're friends. I call and check on him, but I know he needs Jesus. Served people, serve people. When this happened, the lost, the hurting, the hopeless take one step and know God. Those looking for freedom from hurt from their past, the hurt, the hopelessness, take one step, they find freedom. Those searching for their part to play, searching to be part of bigger something bigger than themselves, they take one step, they discover purpose. Those serving passionately, loving God passionately, serving Jesus passionately, get closer to God, get to where he wants them to be, they keep taking one step, and they begin to make a difference. And then the cycle continues. That's why we do what we do. That we ask people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference, and just find what your one step is and take it. Because if we're taking one step, then somebody else can take theirs. Somebody else, whether you believe it or not, is following you. And my question to you is, in 2019, what step have you not taken in 2018 that you need to take? January 1, stroke of midnight. What is it you need to do? What is it God's been after you to do? What's been thumping in your heart? Who have you not invited? I get told all the time, yeah, I was going to invite so-and-so, but I didn't want to offend them. I'm just going to put this bluntly. Would you rather offend them or see them in the other line when we meet Jesus? Would you rather offend them? Take a chance, because they're not going to be offended. That's just really the lie of the enemy. Or do you want to say to them, I'm sorry, I was going to tell you, it's going to be hot where you're going. Good luck. We laugh, but that's eternity. The person, that lifesaver, and I almost went and got a bag of lifesavers and did it again. But every time I see that lifesaver, I say, God, let him take his one step. From where he is, the mess of his life, one step closer to you. Why don't you bow your heads? God, I know there's some of us in the room this morning that we need to start in this first step. We maybe have known you, we've been to church, maybe even got saved and kind of have backed away from you, got things out of a priority out of whack. Maybe we've never known you at all, Lord Jesus. But Father, this morning I ask that you just stir the hearts of those who just need to take that one step. and this morning say, I don't understand it fully. My life is a mess. I've got sin in my life. I know things are wrong. But God, if you'll take me, Lord Jesus, if you'll receive me, I'm in. God, stir their hearts this morning. That thumping you feel in your heart is not just your heart racing, but it's a God who loves you saying, I'm trying to let you know me. Just for a second, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you this morning, if you're watching online, you can shoot us a message below. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to stay long because we're already over. I'm just going to ask you real quick just to wave your hand at me. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to send you a letter that says, hey, good job. I'm proud of you. Now what's your next step? If that's you this morning, just wave a hand at me. I see a couple hands there. Then why don't we all just pray this together? If you're online watching, say it right there, sitting in your living room in your jammies. Just say it with us. Say, Lord Jesus, today I come home. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.